KY Duration. Happy couples talk about what they need in the bedroom, and that's why they always use KY Duration. Many men want to last longer to satisfy their partner and use tricks to distract themselves from enjoying the moment. That's a shame. Thinking about all sorts of horrible stuff just to last a little longer. Baseball, grandma, Vietnam. No, thank you. KY Duration is an endurance enhancer that helps men temporarily prolong the time until they ejaculate. Designed by the experts at KY, it has an FDA-approved active ingredient to help him take control so that he can extend the pleasure for both. Now, wouldn't that be nice? Pick up your KY Duration today, available at all major retailers, drug and grocery stores, and online through Amazon. It is KY Duration. Drew.
KY Duration is an OTC product. Use only as directed.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Right, Drew?
That's a mandate, man.
We love that about you. All right. So, Drew.
So,
Go ahead.
Well, I was just, it seemed like Jordan Peterson's been on my mind this week. I think because I knew you were going to interview him for ACS, then I wanted to get him for my show, and then I could, and then I started searching around for his stuff again.
I interviewed him. So, like, as long as everyone, you know, people should know things are organic with me.
Yeah.
I'm doing No Safe Spaces with Dennis Prager, and the producer said, Jordan Peterson's in town from Canada. We want you to interview him at the shop. 6 months ago, and I said, who's Jordan Peterson? And they said, oh, he's got all these great YouTube whatevers. And I was like, okay. But of course, I didn't really do much homework, and I just sat down and started talking to him. And he's a guy who will tell you what the answer is, but he won't tell you the answer you want to hear, and he might not tell you the answer that a commentator on CNBC wants to hear. He just tells you the answer. And my take on him is, I've always said, like, when people accuse me of being a racist,
yeah,
like, how, if I was a racist, you think I'd make so many racist jokes?
Yeah.
You'd never do that.
Yeah.
You do what Ellen does. If you're the worst person in the world, you dance all the time and smile and have a collar that said love on it. You wouldn't, if you were a horrible person, that's what you'd do. You wouldn't walk around with a scowl on your face and people would know you were that person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but people think that everyone's some sort of cartoon version of
right.
What they imagine they
Jordan
should be.
Peterson is he's basically
he's an academic.
He's an academic, and he's not a bad guy.
No.
So he just tells you what the truth is.
And he's had a lot of clinical experience.
And he doesn't I think he says whatever he wants because there's no ill will toward anybody. He's simply telling you.
He had thought all this stuff out and was doing sort of kind of self-helpy kinds of podcasts and things before he was thrown into the public sphere. And that's why I wanted to bring him up. He has this thing about the hero's journey. Did he talk to you about that at all?
No.
Yeah, we got to get him in here to talk about the Jungian archetypes and the hero's journey because he was – in the last thing I heard him do when I was fishing around for stuff this week – he was talking about how all over the world when he travels now, people come up and thank him for those YouTube videos and podcasts about these Jungian archetypes that inspired people.
J-U-N-G,
the Jung psychologist, the psychoanalyst.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, by the way, Peterson was not just a licensed clinical psychologist, he was a psychoanalyst. And so he does a lot of thinking about patterning of human behaviors and, you know, deep thinking about myths and humans through anthropological history and stuff. And that's why I found him. I'm fascinated by that stuff. Now, I found him a few years ago because of that. In any event, his thing on the hero's journey I thought was something – that's what I want to get into him about when I interview him. So keep an eye out for that. So I thought maybe you and he had gotten into it, but you hadn't.
Sorry.
It seems like the kind of thing you'd
snuff.
No. It's good. There's tons of else to talk about. I just thought that was something you could really relate to.
We covered a lot, but yeah. Not that part. So I know I never talk about my mom on the show.
Wait a minute.
Hmm.
Wow, this is really something.
Yeah, well, if you're once in a while.
Not only talking about yourself, but your mom?
On the same show.
This is, let's go. This is revealing.
So I had this thing, and I wanted to get your take on it.
Okay.
Because it's something that I don't think I've ever really heard in nature, in the wild.
Give me a little more of a setup. You mean you've never...
I started noticing that when I would talk to her about certain things, she would just shut down.
We've talked about that.
But she would stop talking.
Yes. Like Jimmy and the Academy Awards. That seems to be a good way to get her to stop talking.
But not only stop talking, like stop talking in a way that's jarring.
Yeah, it's like well, that's how you can tell somebody's dissociating. It's like they shut down like an animatronic. Right?
Right.
Where we look at them and go, it's taking you back. It's like, what? Are you okay? It's like.
Yeah, because there's a part of life where, you know, it's like your kids are talking to you. And it's like, and then I caught a pass. And then I dodge, You know, like you're watching TV. There you go. Okay. Good for you. You know what I mean? You're
this
just
is
making
not that.
Little noises that sort of sound like you're somewhat there. But it's
very healthy. Anyway.
But this part where they're going, and then I did this, and then I did that, and you're just. You just look at them and don't make noise.
They're shut down. She's not even there. Just,
so something was triggered.
You never saw the thing that this is Mike Catherwood and I. We were interviewing what's the porn star's name? Bree Olson. And she was there one day, and she'd just been one of she was kind of in the press because she was there with Charlie Sheen. She was one of his goddesses when he was manic and crazed and stuff. And she was on the show. She was promoting something. And she was actually kind of reasonable. And I said, you know, during the break, I go, how is Charlie okay? How's things going? And she looked at me and went, vroom. I mean, her eyes turned black. It was Mike literally like started backing away.
Mike Catherwood.
It was really something. And I thought, all right, I'll hang in. And she just stared at me with her head cocked for 45 seconds. Not looked like she didn't breathe.
So
and then all of a sudden went, is there?
Anyway. Yeah, my mom does what one of those goats do when you fire a starter's pistol and they just fall over. But that's if I talk about me.
That's dissociation. That's dissociation.
Yeah.
And your mom was, you know, probably more than anything not attended to. And she also had a whole horrible abandonment stuff. And so the only way she could manage her emotions other than developing a flexible regulatory landscape, which required the presence of an attuned mom or other, she had to just rely on whatever she could, and those are primitive mechanisms, and dissociation tends to be a very common strategy.
But then
we interviewed Stephen Porges, you and I, mm-hmm. remember that? He was the guy that has all that biology worked out. Is that on my podcast, Gary, or was that on this one? Yeah, see if we can find out the number of that. Anyway.
I just found it. I actually recorded it so I could hear it because I wanted to know what it sounded like.
Because
it makes you feel nuts when you're talking to him because you're like, what happened? Why did we just stop talking in the middle of talking? And then you can reboot by talking, you know, bring up scones or something.
You surreptitiously brought your phone out and started.
I just said, I want to hear what this sounds like.
You said that to her?
No, I didn't say to her. If I say to her, it'd ruin the experiment.
Yeah, yeah. And did you get it on tape?
90, huh? Oh, Porges with 63 and 90.
And 90 is
63
with
Drew, 90 episode.
But you happen to just, they're both on the Dr. Drew podcast, but Drew dragged you in as a secondary guest on episode 90. So you were in for a few minutes with Dr. Drew.
Yeah, Porges wanted to analyze you, or I wanted you to come up with a mechanism for your own sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Okay. So then why then when people dissociate, if you bring up something else, they snap right back to life?
First of all, they're not really aware they're doing it. It's just their customary way of managing unpleasantness. They distance themselves from it. They go out of body or whatever.
Why is discussion about the Oscars unpleasant?
You've mentioned many times that she's got some sort of weird thing about that, right?
No, well, it can be cars. Or podcast. It doesn't have to just be that.
Pay careful attention to what triggers it.
And then any discussion about what you're doing. But not if it's something if it's about you, then it triggers it. If you said,
right, okay,
I want to go to Cold Stone Creamery, then we could talk about ice cream.
Right. So,
but if you said, I am working on a documentary, then it would shut it down.
I'm going to guess, and this is strictly a guess, that you were dealing something that I also dealt with, which is that there's a stage.
Hold on. You were hanging out with my mom?
No, I had my mom, who I was dealing with also.
Our moms were hanging out with me. Yeah, go ahead.
There's this stage of development called rapprochement.
Oh, yeah.
Which is where the child goes out away and then comes back. And in a normal relationship, the mom goes, good, good, I saw what you did. And you come back and you share it with the mom. And you have enhanced enjoyment of the child's autonomy and what he or she is able to do out in the world as she goes out into the world and then comes back for refueling with the mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an advance and retreat out into the world, coming back for safety and security and reinforcement and for sort of a shared joy in the child's independence and autonomy as it develops. And the thread between the mom and the child lengthens and the child develops more autonomy. Well, some people can't tolerate that.
I mean, and going and coming
they
back?
They cannot tolerate the child moving away from them at all. It's experienced as an abandonment. It's an experienced as conflicted.
And so maybe she that's you.
That is me.
That's you. Because my mom couldn't have been happier when we left.
But I'm wondering.
She wanted us out.
But I'm wondering why anything autonomous about you triggers overwhelming feelings.
I don't think it's autonomous, Matt. You don't think it's autonomous. You just think it's something about you. It's not autonomous. It's not like, oh, you left and you came back and you're not going to leave again. I don't think there's any of that. It's just you're talking about something did.
But to have to acknowledge something real about you, it's too intense for them.
Well, I just think it's an intimacy thing.
Right, same thing. It's you existing as a separate person is too much for me. Too much. It's overwhelming.
Yeah,
it's the separation. I think that I may be wrong about the underlying
Well, you're talking
dynamic.
About separation of someone who never wanted to be there in the first place.
Yeah, yeah, I understand what you're telling me, but I something about you existing is threatening. You know, you being separate and autonomous and having a separate identity and all that is like too much. Too much.
No,
no,
right. Not, that's not. Matt, right. You've ever gotten. I don't know. Why I'm turning Matt, but there's nothing about me having a separate identity or anything.
It's just more like I'm not
talking about you, and we don't tolerate people talking about themselves here.
Right, but to acknowledge you as a separate whole person requires, an intimacy and boundaries, and it's overwhelming for her. She can't do it.
I think it's a pretty simple line, which is I've always looked at it this way. If we start talking about something that is not another family that we have no connection to or an inanimate object or a station wagon or something, then there's the chance that it could start becoming something possibly intimate.
Correct.
So
we're saying
we're saying the same thing.
So
we can't go there.
But I'm saying part of that intimacy is her acknowledging you. You existing becomes somehow challenging to because once you exist, then we can have a relationship.
All right.
And that's intimate. That's difficult.
Well, it's jarring. I got to tell you, it's literally stopped talking in the middle of a conversation.
Does your face go flat and everything too? Like loses expression and that kind of thing?
I wouldn't call her Jerry Lewis normally.
Dumb rubber face.
Not that animated normally. Yeah. But she will literally stop talking if you start talking about, cars or podcasts.
And then you don't get anything back. Like she didn't even hear it.
You'd stop talking.
Yeah.
Until you start talking about something else. Then you can move on.
I got to see this.
All right. I'll play a snippet.
Well, first, you have it?
We got, let's see. You got Oscar. Let's see. Well, if we start with some...
Why are you
some
doing
furniture?
Do true car.
All right, I'll tell you about true car first.
And then we'll get it.
MSRP. You might know what it stands for, but what does it mean? Or same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. It's all very confusing. Introducing True Price from True Car. Know exactly what you'll pay, including fees and accessories, before you get to the dealership. Why not, man? True Price. It's a great price because True Car shows you what other people pay for the exact same car you want. They have certified dealers. they compete with each other to bring the price down. You figure out the car that you want. You lock in your price. You get your certificate. You go to the dealer, your certified dealer, and you pick up your car. It's a true car. How much easier can they make it? It's 2018 now. People think about getting a new car or even a used car. So when you're ready to buy new or used, visit True Car. Enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. All right, Gary, let's see. Are you able to like fast forward and stuff?
Yes, but I haven't had a chance to review these clips. So yeah, I can follow your instructions, but I don't have a lot of knowledge.
It's a little rough. Well, you can just start playing number one at the time.
How's the house doing? So you're doing some work then?
Yeah. Actually, the furniture in Helen and Lonzie's room was, if you remember, is kind of a dull grayish color.
So this kind of talk's fine.
Furniture's fine.
Furniture,
paint.
Painted in a long time. And my...
She sounds more animated these days than
son-in-law.
Well, hold on. We're talking about a chest of drawers. Could be worth between $22 and $40 for us. So, yeah, I think you'd be pretty animated, too. We're talking about super high-end furniture that's getting painted by helper's relatives.
Oh.
All right, hold on. Keep it going. That's fine.
That's the end of the furniture clip.
Okay. Oh, he broke it down some weird way. All right, well, then we get into the Oscars. Sorry,
Chris. All right, this should be good.
A different way.
All right.
So what's new with you besides finding this exciting
house? Told I was building a super house.
Oh, yeah.
Working, started writing for the Oscars.
For the actors?
For the Oscars.
For the what?
The Oscars, the TV show.
Oh, you're writing for the Oscars?
Yes.
Oh, have you done that before? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, I did it last year.
Oh.
So.
Do you write for just certain people?
That's right for the host.
She's imagining writing like an award show.
Oh, uh-huh.
Speech.
And
Jimmy.
Doing a podcast.
Oh, you got to rewind it a little. Yeah, big mistake with Jimmy, because when you say Jimmy, Jimmy's dead.
I heard it, she stopped. Yeah,
You'll hear, so when I say Jimmy, she just stops after
Ryan's
Jimmy. Which is weird, because her loser son, his best friend, is hosting the Oscars, so you'd think there'd be a little. Now, to be fair to your mom, she would have just made it all about Jimmy.
My mom?
Yeah.
Would have made it all about her.
Oh, her and Jimmy.
Yeah.
What Jimmy means to her.
What
she means to Jimmy.
How Jimmy reminds her of her and
a
her
younger
stuff.
All right. Sorry. Continue, sir.
For the Oscars.
For the what?
The Oscars, the TV show.
Oh, you're writing for the Oscars?
Yes.
Oh, have you done that before? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, I did it last year.
Oh.
Where you had a huge conversation last
year. So,
do you write for just certain people?
That's right for the host. Jimmy's hosting the show.
Oh, uh-huh.
And doing a podcast and working on the race cars. And I do a lot of car-related stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot about a lot of car stuff, actually.
You're winding down, too.
And that's about it.
You're getting sucked into it.
I don't even try. She just stops.
No, but listen, there's certain people.
There's a long period of time with no talking.
No, listen, there are certain people that every therapist knows this, that when you come in the room with them, you start to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And this reminds me of that, where she's sucking you in. I feel you slowing down.
I do. And I always just do it on purpose anyway, because I'm always just like, she's not going to talk. So I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, my God. First off, the Newman 935 Porsche, that thing was first in class, second Le Mans overall. I mean, that thing's amazing. I drove that thing at Laguna Seca. What a rush when those turbos kick it. Like, you're not going to do that. You're just going to go, meh. Well, sorry, I'll let you win.
Well, it's Gary's going to.
And that's about it. Just podcasts, cars, and Oscars, and a little travel, some stuff. Not too much.
It's starting to sound like Windy City Heat. It's like, yeah, doing the gladiator dog type movie.
So, I mean, there's an inability to speak after you bring up Jimmy. Like, that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. Just like, stop talking. Just stop talking.
Yeah.
It's weird, right? Well, not weird, but yeah, it's uncomfortable. Yeah. But I don't know. I've not. I. You know, people think, oh, there's passive aggressive, where they go. Oh, the Oscars. That's cute. You know, and they're like, okay, that's being passive aggressive.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, this isn't that. This is shutdown.
Shutdown.
I wonder if there's something about Jimmy, if she has some weird something.
Well, it's not.
You might ask her sometimes, Jimmy upset you?
Well, yeah, Jimmy upset her because Jimmy's super successful and I know him. That's
well,
how you upset her.
What her take would be on it. Like if you made it explicit, like, I noticed you reacted.
Yeah, Jimmy went to her house and, you know, she came on to him sexually and he kind of shut her down. This is, well, it's a number, been a number of months, but yeah. And they were camping then the following weekend when they were camping.
Camping or raping?
Well, don't make it weird, Drew. No, she doesn't like Jimmy. Because, yeah. Look, Jimmy's name has never been spoken since he became successful. It's the Jon Stewart.
Yeah, yeah.
Syndrome. Like, yeah. She was a huge fan, then she found out, now he's dead. He's never spoken again. It's not John. You think John did something to offend her? She walked through the front door holding a tape going, this guy's the funniest guy I've ever heard in my life. 42 minutes later, she announced he was hit and miss, and we never spoke of him again. Do you think Jon Stewart from New York did something that window to upset her?
All right, got it.
What upset her?
You.
I knew Jon Stewart.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know Jimmy.
Yeah,
that's a prop. That's problematic, Drew. It's got to be fixed, Matt. You know, like if you knew someone who was hosting them, like let's just say you're best friends with Seth MacFarlane, your mom would be pissed, right?
Right.
And she'd never speak his name again.
Yeah.
Right.
No, she'd invite him over for dinner.
No. Oh yeah. How about a hot tub, Mister?
Yeah.
All right.
That sounds weird for people who don't know that.
Is she the old neighbor next to Peter Griffin?
All right. So you're saying it's a complete shutdown.
Yeah.
Dissociation.
Yeah.
Crazy, though, mm-hmm. right?
But right. We know what she's been through, man. It's not that surprising.
Yeah. How about you fake it a little bit?
Must have been great when you were a kid.
Oh, nothing better.
Freak out.
Because let me tell you something. Like that, an hour every other month, it's enjoyable. But living with it, awesome.
Mm.
That is awesome. Hey, Will, 22, Raleigh.
Adam.
Carolla.
Hey, what's up? Great to talk to you guys.
To be fair,
I know.
Jimmy's dead to my dad, too.
Oh, really?
And he's not even really that way. It's just somebody dared to be successful.
Well, you forget that we went through a whole period there for a long time when anybody that was successful and made money was evil.
Hello?
And they were the originators of that kind of attitude.
My dad's not that dude.
They were, weren't they that early
you,
on the
you
70s?
You try to turn my dad into a hippie every third episode.
He just didn't care.
My dad's just straight dude. Ask me how many times my dad smoked pot in his life.
How many times?
Zero.
Okay.
Drugs? Zero.
Well, no, I'm not
listening
making him hippie.
To the strawberry alarm clock.
But he was.
Zero.
Cream?
With the coffee, but never over cereal. No, he never listened. He's not into any of that. My dad's from South Philly, Squaresville. He's not uptight.
Is he excited about the Eagles in the Super Bowl or anything? Or?
I don't know.
but I'm just saying he, yeah.
He what? I know you always do that hippie thing.
No, it's not hippie.
She's not a hippie.
It's not hippie.
He's just a dude who's trying to get along.
It's not hippie. It's just more of a...
It's not that Jimmy became the man in a sellout or anything like that. It's
right.
Just
I thought he was sort of more of that sort of leaning that way, those guys kind of thinking.
My dad doesn't... No, it's just if it could fall... if it falls under the heading as a plus for you or us or something, it's kind of not... It's not tolerated. But right. It's not because of hippie or whatever.
Right,
it's just
right.
Somehow...
He's not the man.
Anything good is not good.
Okay. All right.
Anything normal that would be, you know, celebrated or embraced or whatever just has to fall under the zero.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let's get back to Will.
Hey, Will. Sorry.
Hey,
22,
Adam.
Raleigh.
Oh, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Hey, so I think one of your most redeeming qualities, I mean, you have a lot, but definitely your atheism. I admire how you've been outspoken about that. And I know you interviewed Christopher Hitchens once, and I wanted to know what you thought about him or his intelligence.
By the way, Jordan Peterson, not an atheist.
Not an atheist.
Yeah.
Yes, I know, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that interview, so
Oh,
I didn't.
I'm a big
out.
Fan, so I've listened to it. But maybe thought about interviewing maybe Sam Harris, or maybe discussing more of your atheism.
I don't like turning it into its own religion. It's kind of my
thing.
I find most atheists to be blowhards. Like they're insufferable most of the time.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with that.
I would rather hang out with a religious Jew than an atheist.
Sam Harris, though, is kind of interesting that way, though, because he's a neuroscientist and he just sort of matter of fact.
Okay.
Upon
well, I'm not saying they're all that way. I'm just in general, it's like a club that I don't really want to be a part of.
Gary, Sam Harris, anytime on my podcast.
Yeah,
anytime.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I spoke to Jordan. We will be having him on your show imminently.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
Sorry, Will. Go ahead.
No, it's more of the rational discussion. And I feel like how nowadays people can't discuss Islam appropriately. They use terms like Islamophobia, and Drew's a doctor. I wanted to get his insight on this. If it's a phobia, that would imply that it's something you should not only fear but be afraid of. But why should you not be afraid of something that's a bad idea? Like, it gets down to ideas and ideology.
Well, wait a minute. Doesn't a phobia... I mean, to me, phobia implies it's irrational in some way.
Right.
Because it's like when some people say fear of heights.
Or
most people have a fear of heights,
or
but not
really
flying.
It's excessive. Excessive fear and irrational fear,
Mm-hmm. But hey, Will, let me... sounds like his line's bad. Let me save you some time in life. There's a time in a young man's life.
Oh, Jesus.
What's funny?
I just imagine you opening many, many different chapters with that.
There's a time in a young
no
man's...
No telling what could come out of your mouth next. Let's put it that way. Okay. Okay.
Not a young woman, per se.
Oh.
But a young man's life.
Okay.
Where
he's got a penis.
Turns his thoughts toward being atheist. Possibly agnostic, and then burns a whole bunch of goddamn calories over nothing for about 15 years and then sort of forgets about it, if you're smart. If not, then you just sort of – it becomes some sort of personal crusade like Bill Maher or something like that where you bring it into middle age and everything. And it's like – I used to think that way too. Like I'd be – you know, I'd be traveling along when I was 24 and I'd be in the van with the born-again Christians, you know, the born-again gangbangers I'm installing closets with, and I'd go, whoa, it said, one generation after Israel becomes a nation, he will return, blah, blah, blah. Well, a generation, according to the Bible, is 40 years, and Israel became a nation in 1956. So now, and then at a certain point, you go, fuck it, let's eat.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because you realize, A, I'm not here to talk everyone out of their shit, and then B, I kind of like it now when people are religious because it turns out they're not as big assholes half the time.
Well, right. If it ends up being a pragmatically useful whatever for humans, good. Makes them live a happier life, a better life. Fantastic.
Right. And I don't know why women don't seem to obsess over this. I don't hear 22-year-old women going, I'm an atheist and I feel like in a year wrong.
I think women are – well, I believe that their brain is such that they're sort of attuned to the cosmos way more than a man's. And so there's
I don't want to turn into a fluff
piece. No, but listen.
Why don't women care about this?
Because they have a more holistic sort of take on things. It's not as rigidly anti-religious.
Yeah. Well, it's another difference, if Jordan Peterson is listening, the male brain and the female brain, male brain of like the atheist are religious in their fervor about being an atheist, and they never see any women that are that
into it. That is Jordan Peterson's point.
They don't care about it.
He feels it's another kind of religion, and so why not have one that's more useful is his sort of take.
And why aren't women wired to be you guys will come up with a name and tweet me, but what I mean is there's no pendulette of females.
Yeah.
They just don't seem to exist.
Yeah.
If they're out there, I don't see them. I don't hear them.
I'm sure they're there, but they don't...
Well, they're always there. Yeah. They're women cage fighters,
right.
But they're not the predominant.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
Life insurance, health IQ that uses science and data to get lower rates for health-conscious consumers like runners, cyclists, strength trainers, vegans. If you're living a healthy lifestyle, you could benefit from health IQ. You know, you get to save money. Like, you're a good driver, Adam. And if you have car insurance, you get a little less on your insurance.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't your life insurance be the same if you drive your body better?
Drive your body
better. Healthier.
Yeah.
56% of Health IQ customers save between 4 and 33%. So life insurance rates do tend to get increased as you get older. So you want to lock in that best rate possible by getting a free quote now, today, to see if you qualify. Get your free quote today at healthiq.com/ADS. Just mention the promo code ADS when you talk to a Health IQ agent. But I want you to head over there right now, healthiq.com/ADS. Lock in some of that rate before you grow one day older and look forward to saving between 4 and 33% as over half Health IQ customers do. healthiq.com/ADS.
All right. Kennedy Center tonight, Washington, D.C. Maybe a couple tickets left. I don't know. Could be sold out, but you can check. Go to amcroll.com for everything. See the Cobra Basic Cable commentary. That's up there on iTunes now. Check that out. Check out the Masterclass. I don't know how you get to the Masterclass. What do you do? Just go to Masterclass.
CorollaClass.com, if memory serves.
There you go. Yeah, should put that up there. Tell Max Pat to put that up there tomorrow there. Thank you. And go to Coral Drink. Say hi to Lynette Drew.
Go to DrDrew.com. Check out our family of pods. Sign up for DrDrew.com/contact. Go to our Facebook page, our YouTube page. Got a lot of videos up there, and we got some really cool new letters, sort of a chronicle coming up on the opioid crisis and where it all came from.
So, until next time, I'm Coral for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.